In the following conference, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, What the Church Expects of Her Priests. Father Hardin.
Anyone who knows the present Holy Father knows his great solicitude for priests. I call it solicitude and not merely interest, because the Pope is painfully aware of the crisis through which the Catholic priesthood is passing in many countries, especially in the Western world. The focus of our reflections will not be the Pope's understanding of what the priesthood is. In this, he is simply at one with the Church's tradition since the time of Christ. The Sacrament of Orders confers on those ordained the unique power of offering and consecrating the body and blood of Christ, of forgiving sins in Christ's name, and of exercising priestly authority according to their rank in the Church of God. What we rather wish to see is how the Pope views the priests as persons, and what he says the Church expects of them. There is more than superficial value in making this kind of reflection. Why? Because the future well-being of the Catholic priesthood depends in large measure on everyone, and the word is everyone, being clear as to what a priest should be. Bishops need to be clear in order to deal in a fatherly way with the priests under their care. Priests need to be clear in order to rise to the dignity and high demands of their calling. Seminarians need to be clear to profit from their years of training and become what Christ and his people want priests to be. Religious need to be clear, since they depend so much on priests for their spiritual direction and progress in Christian perfection. The laity need to be clear, because they are to cooperate with priests and yet rely on priestly guidance and inspiration and their sacramental ministry. As I've said so often, and I believe it is true, people get the kind of priests they deserve. Out of a welter of addresses, homilies, and formal documents of Pope John Paul, I would select a few as fairly representative features of what the priest should be, and therefore what the Church expects of him. And I will draw on this document of the Holy Father to all bishops of the Church and to all priests of the Church on Holy Thursday, 1979. The priest should be, first, at the service of the people. Second, concerned for the salvation of souls. Third, a witness to Christ. Fourth, chaste in lifelong celibacy. And fifth, a man of prayer. Or in five words, the following should characterize the Catholic priesthood: service, souls, witness, celibacy, and prayer. Service. The Pope begins by emphasizing that the priest is a gift of Christ for the Christian community. Our sacramental priesthood, says the Holy Father, is a hierarchical and at the same time ministerial priesthood. It constitutes a special ministry, that is to say, service, in relation to the community of believers. It does not, however, take its origin from that community, as though it was the community that called or delegated the priest. The sacramental priesthood is truly a gift for this community, but it comes from Christ himself, from the fullness of his priesthood. Since the priesthood is given to us so that we can unceasingly serve others, after the example of Christ the Lord, the priesthood cannot be renounced because of the difficulties that we meet or the sacrifices asked of us. Like the apostles, we have left everything to follow Christ. Therefore, we must also persevere beside him through the cross. Unquote. The Holy Father. What does the Pope mean? He means that even as Christ came into the world to serve others, so he ordains priests to be of service to the faithful. A priest is not ordained for himself. He is ordained, as the phrase goes, ad alios, for others. At the same time, the Pope makes clear that this priestly ministry comes from Christ. It is determined by Christ. Of course, it is for the people, but not from the people, as though the people, and not Jesus Christ, determined how the priest is to minister to others. The priest takes his directives from the Savior through the hierarchy and not from the people. Whatever else the priesthood is not, it is not a democratic office. It is a lifelong ordination. And that means, having taught over 500 priests and counseled so many of them, it means being sure you have the grace and then carry the cross. Second dimension, souls. Service, as we know, can mean many things. The Pope makes clear what it means for the priest. His service as a priest should be concern for souls. Quote the Holy Father, "The special care for the salvation of others, for truth, for the love and holiness of the whole people of God, for the spiritual unity of the Church, this care has been entrusted to us by Christ, together with a priestly power, and is exercised in various ways. These ways differ from one another, and it is just impossible to name them all one by one. Nevertheless, within all these differences, you, speaking to priests, are always and everywhere the bearers of your particular vocation. You are bearers of the grace of Christ, the eternal priest, and bearers of the charism of the Good Shepherd. And this you can never forget. This you can never renounce. This you must put into practice at every moment, in every place, and in every way. In this consists that supreme art to which Jesus Christ has called you. It is the supreme art of the direction of souls." Unquote. Christ's Vicar. How this exhortation needs to be said and listened to. Today there are so many priests forgetting why they were ordained. And how the faithful beg for priestly counsel, priestly direction, priestly care, priestly instruction, in order to save and sanctify their souls. Witness. A priest is ordained and receives the indelible mark of Christ's priesthood on his soul. The Holy Father goes on to say that the people have a right to recognize this mark in the whole personality and behavior of a priest. It is as though the mark of ordination, which is indeed supernatural, imprinted as we believe on the soul, should make itself manifest also in the body. A priest must always be conscious of who he is and behave accordingly. This priestliness, says Pope John Paul, is the basic witness that a priest should give to the people. I quote the Holy Father, "The priestly life is built upon the foundation of the sacrament of orders, which imprints on our soul the mark of an indelible character this mark impressed in the depth of our being has its personal dimension. The priestly personality must be for others a clear and plain sign and indication. This is the first condition for our pastoral service. The people from among whom we have been chosen and for whom we have been appointed want above all to see in us such a sign and such a mark, and to this they have a right. How many times over the years I've been told by people about the behavior of a priest, how it disedified, and not so much because the priest necessarily misbehaved, but because he did not behave like a priest. But the Pope was not for nothing a priest himself for more than 30 years before he was elected to the papacy. He knew, and what I will quote in a moment should be memorized. There are so many pressures from among the people on the priests, urging them to be one of the crowd. You will be more acceptable. You will be more effective. Conform. Here's what the Pope says. It may sometimes seem to us that the people do not want this distinctively priestly behavior. Although they wish us to be in every way like them, at times it even seems that they demand this of us. And here one must be very careful and always have a profound sense of faith and the gift of discernment. In fact, it is very easy to let oneself be guided by appearances and fall victim to a fundamental illusion in what is essential. Those who call for the secularization of priestly life and applaud its various manifestations will undoubtedly abandon us when we give in to this temptation. We then shall cease to be necessary and popular. Our times are characterized by various forms of manipulation and exploitation of man, but we priests cannot give in to any of these. Unquote, the Pope. I know. Just to dress like a priest, with maybe 100 in whose company I am, not one in clerical garb. I know what the Pope is saying. once again, how true and how wise, supernaturally wise, a priest must be not to allow himself to be taken in by those who tell him to become like themselves. He will end up being useless even to himself and a liability to the church and the Christ who ordained him. Celibacy. In today's confused climate, the Pope devotes much attention to priestly celibacy. He speaks with a frankness and a clarity that are disarming. Quote the Holy Father. Through his celibacy, the priest becomes the man for others in a different way from the man who, by binding himself in conjugal union with a woman, also becomes, as husband and father, a man for others, especially in the radius of his own family, for his wife, and together with her, for the children to whom he gives life. But the priest, by giving up this fatherhood proper to married men, seeks another fatherhood, and as it were even another motherhood, recalling the words of the apostle about the children whom he begets in suffering. These are the children of his spirit, people entrusted to his solicitude by the Good Shepherd. These people are many, more numerous than any ordinary human family can embrace. The pastoral vocation of priests is great, and the Council teaches that it is universal. It is directed towards the whole church, and therefore it is of a missionary character. Normally it is linked to the service of a particular community of the people of God, in which each individual expects attention, care, and love. The heart of the priest, in order that it may be available for this service, must be free. Celibacy is a sign of a freedom that exists for the sake of service. Only priests who sincerely strive to preserve their chastity can fully appreciate the wisdom of these words. Priests, chaste priests, have no doubt that celibacy is procreative. They realize it is universalizing. It opens their hearts and expands their horizons, as nothing under God can confer more surely than consecrated chastity faithfully observed. And it is profoundly and delightfully liberating. It frees the heart from those passions to which, except for God's grace, are so confining. And it makes the priest, consequently, accessible, available, and acceptable by people who, without even realizing, are responding to the chastity of a priestly heart. Finally, prayer. It is only to be expected that the Pope should conclude his portrait of a priest after the heart of Christ by saying he must be a man of prayer. Why prayer? The Holy Father explains. The language is a little unusual. I suppose it's because the Pope says what we all believe, sometimes in a striking way. Quote, Pope John Paul, "It is prayer that shows the essential style of the priest. Without prayer, this style becomes deformed. Prayer helps us always to find the light that has led us since the beginning of our priestly vocation, and which never ceases to lead us, even though it seems at times to disappear in the darkness. Prayer enables us to be converted continually, to remain in a state of continuous reaching out to God, which is necessary if we wish to lead others to Him. Prayer helps us to believe, to hope, and to love, even when our human weakness hinders us. Prayer likewise enables us continually to rediscover the dimensions of that kingdom for whose coming we pray every day, when we repeat the words that Christ taught us. Then we realize what our place is in bringing to fruition that petition, Thy kingdom come, and we see how necessary we are in its realization. Priests who pray, therefore, are in contact with Christ. They are enlightened by the Master in the thousand circumstances of their priestly life. I hope you've heard this at least once. People, as they should, go to a priest to be enlightened. But to whom should the priest go? To Christ. They are strengthened by their prayer in carrying the cross, and they are blessed with influence over souls for which nothing merely human can supply, provided they are priests who pray. I'm almost finished, but not quite. On the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, in Philadelphia, the Holy Father spoke to the largest gathering of priests in our country. He told them much of what we have outlined in this conference, but then he closed with this conclusion. Let me read it. At times, we hear the words, "Pray for priests." And today I address these words as an appeal, as a plea to all the faithful of the Church in the United States. Pray for priests, so that each and every one of them will repeatedly say yes to the call he has received. Remain constant in preaching the gospel message, and be faithful forever as the companion of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Pope's plea is also my recommendation. Pray for priests. The holiness of priests determines the sanctity of the Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.